How does a podcast evolve after you've practically solved every puzzy and riddy? You really gotta expand upon your limited brand before your show gets really shitty. You turn to face reality and pray your personalities will carry this last minute pivot through. So here comes the content that nobody wanted. Now it's time for Hey Riddle Riddles Clue Crew.
Aaron, JPC, I bought this skull online and the teeth won't stop moving.
Are you serious? Because this is pretty haunted and pretty bad.
I also did read an article about a chimoving skull that, it's like really bad if they keep chimoving like that.
Yeah, no, of course. No, I just thought this would be a fun intro for the chatterbox. Like, you know how in some of the old timey cartoons, the teeth chatter, like the skeleton teeth chatter?
I hear what you're saying, but you should not joke about that because there is a chattering skull sort of terrorizing.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I love that that's your lived experience, but it's not my lived experience.
Okay, yeah, no, I'll just, and I don't think I'm going to talk the rest of this episode, but I'll chime in with like a...
You don't think you're going to talk the rest of this episode?
Is that also...
I mean, I'd love for you to know.
Wait.
Like, I'd love...
Yeah, Adel, okay, say something that the chattering skull wouldn't know.
Yeah.
I am a bleached skull.
It's him. Get him.
It's him. It's him.
Oh, now that we have the real Adel back, we can get started.
Oh, hey, man,
I was locked away.
I don't have to shoot any one of the. I don't have to make a decision on which one to shoot.
The chattering skull or Adel? Which one's the chattering skull?
Why don't I even bring my gun to these recordings? I'm not even mad, but why do I even bring my gun? If this is if I'm never going to use it, then I guess I should just leave it at home, and I am at home.
So it's been 3 months since we recorded.
Mm-hmm. It's been 1 week since you looked at me, Aaron.
It's been a while.
It's been at least a couple weeks. What did I miss? Who are we now? Have you rebranded yourself since we last spoke? Tell me everything.
Aaron. Yeah, I smoke now.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I see a lot of smoke coming from under your arms and your neck area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Dr. Riddle, what happened? He just said my body will be continuing to generate it throughout the rest of my a very brief life.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah. Huh.
He said I'm his little battery man.
Yeah, Cinder
syndrome. We need to find you a different doctor,
Yeah, he's good, though. He said I'm a little battery man. It's fine.
Here's something that happened to me. I was just in London, and I had the most amazing experience, and I could not wait to tell the two of you. But of course, I waited to tell you on air because it's content. And
yeah, why not?
When I text you, it's wasteful. So Gemma and I went to this thing called the Crystal Maze. What is the Crystal Maze? You're both curious.
What is the Crystal Maze?
The Crystal Maze was a 1990s game show in England that apparently... Don't come at me if this is wrong. Apparently, everyone watched. So I'm trying to think of it's like Double Dare, but if Double Dare was also watched by everyone. So not like Double Dare.
Following so far.
So basically, you go into, it was created, it maybe wasn't created. It was hosted by Richard O'Brien, who played Riff Raff in Rocky Horror Picture Show. And
it
I think also
wasn't
wrote,
created?
He also wrote Rocky Horror Picture Show. Anyway, regardless, you're in this Crystal Maze, and there's all these different rooms, and one's like there's a castle, and one is like a future spaceship, and in each room there's all these games, and the games are either physical, mental, skill, or mystery. So physical, there's a group of like six, and you go throughout, and there's a host, and the host is like being funny and like telling you what's going on, and you have 3 minutes to do any room, and if you defeat the room, you get a crystal. You want to collect as many crystals as possible. So for example, I did a skill room. And the skill room was I had to go into a room, and in 3 minutes,
you.
I had to get to the end without tripping any lasers. And there's all these lasers going in the room.
Okay, so far so fun. This sounds amazing.
Yes. Or Gemma did one where it was like, I can't remember. It was something about like shooting a bow and arrow or something. So it's all these different wild things. Here's the thing, though. We get to the very last room.
Sure.
And it's, I think it was under the mental category.
It's JPC with boxing gloves.
It's JPC with boxing gloves.
Good luck fighting me.
And he's punching himself. We get to the end and we're with four strangers who are on sort of some sort of like business bonding thing. We get to the final room and Gemma does it. It's mental. And the host says, the person in the room is doing it, but there's like these little windows where you can view the room and cheer your person on. And you can also shout out answers if it's like a question thing. We get to the final room. Gemma goes in. It's the final thing for the crystals. The room opens, and it's a room with 7 different flags, and written on each flag is a riddle.
Wow.
As the host starts, the host goes, I will read the riddle, and then you have, you know, you have 3 minutes to do them all. As the host reads each riddle, I feel like Spider-Man. I feel like when Spider-Man first discovers he has powers, I just go boom, 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 boom. I say the answers to all the riddles before the woman can read them. The woman is flabbergasted. She truly goes, so you've been here before? And I go, no. I go, no, 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 no.
No, and I can't tell you why I do what I do.
The women
and I don't want to say it out loud why I know how to do this.
The four women we're with are flabbergasted. They're in awe of me. I'm some sort of brainiac. To them, I am Einstein. I am a genius. Everyone is just in awe. Gemma is laughing, and she goes, well, hold on. He hosts a riddle podcast, and I go, no, Gemma, shut up.
No, a genius, Gemma. And
they go, oh, it's a sad thing. I've never in my life felt more just like set up for success. It was the most incredible feeling, and looking back, it is sad. I realize that now. It is very sad. But in the moment, I felt just like this is what Karate Kid must feel like, where he's like painting a fence and waxing a car, and then somebody goes to punch him, and he like brushes their foot away from the punch, and he's like, whoa, I know karate.
Yeah, brushes the foot away from the punch. Uh-huh.
I felt it was incredible.
If I was in an escape room situation with someone who told me at the end of the escape room that they were the host of a riddle podcast, I don't even know what I would ask my doctor to test me for. Like, what do they have a test for what I might have from being in a room with that person?
They did at the end. They asked me to stay after, and they charged me double. And they go, "Don't ever come here again." They go, "You owe more money,
dude." I would have looked so smug. I would have like looked to my left, looked to my right, and been like, I can't believe I'm here for this. And then I would have gotten all of them wrong.
Yeah. A shadow. Nope.
No.
Really?
Gloves. A glove. Thunder.
And they're like, no, it's none of that. And you're like, okay, you be the king, and I'm like a knight who's going on a quest. And they're like, what?
What are you talking about? Like, I want to see a scene. Aaron, what's been going on with you?
Oh, I have a question.
Yes.
What were the riddles? Do you remember at least the answers?
Aaron, my dear, I blacked out.
Yep. And I knew. And I was assumed that.
I would be insulted if you remembered the riddles or any of the answers, because that is strictly verboten on this podcast. We are not allowed to remember the trauma that we have gone through.
And verboten, of course, German for forbidden.
Bratwurst.
Bratwurst.
The boat.
Nothing is new with me. I am excited to go to Chicago this weekend.
Woo.
Where I'll be seeing both of you, and I am doing world news. Where neither
now, if you're
of you are
listening
be
to
there,
this, if you're listening to this,
this already
very
happened.
Confused.
This already happened.
This has already happened.
This has already happened, and I will know by the time you're listening to this. But I have to talk about my life honestly. I'm not going to lie to you guys. I'd be a weirdo if I was like, I'm in Spain right now. I'm not going to lie. But neither of you are doing world news, right?
Correct.
I don't think I can make it.
Thanks.
What the heck? Why?
Because you're there.
I want to know what better deal you got than hanging out with me.
So I'm hanging out with my wife, and a group of us are going to a little apple orchard and doing some apple picking and doing then some hay rides and general fall activities. Hmm. And then we're going to dinner afterwards together. That's a little group.
I'm going to start screaming on the top of my lungs if Adel is also going to this.
No.
This is a group of
friends,
I said.
Watching TV at home.
What do you have, Adel? TV at home?
TV at home, mostly.
Honestly, that's one of my favorite places to watch TV. Home, that's got to be A, number one. On the bus, number two. Toilet.
Car chase.
On the bus, number two. Jesus.
Fine. My feelings aren't hurt, and I'm fine.
No, I apologize, Aaron. You know I love doing world news, and I've done it the past 4 weekends, so I feel like I'm often there.
I don't think
I've been there since March, so this is par for the course for me.
Yeah, this is actually to be expected from Adel.
couldn't even make an exception for little old me.
I will say, though, for all of the people that come to see World News, I do talk to a lot of people after the show, and everyone has been very, very nice, been very cool. There's been a lot of people that have seen the show on vacation, like they've been to Chicago, and that is like one of the events that they've done to see the show. So shout out to everybody who comes up and says hello after World News. And for everyone who just sees the show and then goes home, because that's also fine too. You're truly allowed to do whatever you want. The only thing that you have to do is you have to see the show, of course.
God.
You don't have an option
there.
That's
not an option.
You have to go see World News at IO.
I'm glad that people have been nice. Thank God. Thank God.
I don't know. Yeah, maybe I'll start calling it out on the show if I ever talk to a real weirdo. I'll say, hey, Evan, talk to Evan last week. Evan, you got to brush up on your social skills, buddy, because you are very weird. But no, I haven't met any weird Evans. And if you're a listener and you're an Evan and you're fucking weird, I'm not talking about you, okay? We've never met. And if we have, I don't remember you. And it's not because you didn't make an impression. So don't be even weirder when we do meet.
Mom,
because
you wanna... using me as an example again.
Hang up. Hang up the podcast. Can I tell you guys about a mistake I made?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so this past weekend, sort of like redoing a lot of stuff around the house, just trying to refresh. And...
what are you redoing? Like you mopped the floor, you're like, oh man, it's all dirty, and now yeah. Mop it again. Okay, gotcha.
Okay, mop again. Sean has an office closet. I was in there for the first year of living here. I recorded from it. He like tore down all the shelves, even though we're renting. Don't tell our landlord. We decided to paint one wall in his little cloffice.
Okay.
And I went to go pick out the paint. And I thought...
Clawfish sounds like Krampus, like Krampus's cousin or something.
Oh, I'm the Clawfish.
If you can think of a better name for it, I'm sure you can. I will start calling it that.
Closet?
Damn.
Well, that's what they call it on the listing.
Yeah, they call it... Yeah, but it has a window in it.
Honestly, calling it a Clawfish is like... That's some like real estate, like...
Smart.
You know...
Jargon.
Django.
But it isn't quite a closet because it has a window in it. It feels like a room. Doesn't
I have
matter.
A closet with a window in it.
So it's a closet. It's a closet, and we're painting one wall of his closet. I thought so hard about this paint color. I went and I followed in a bunch of interior designers who went, like, here's a bunch of Studio Ghibli-inspired paint colors. And here's a bunch of Lord of the Rings-inspired paint colors. And I picked two that were, like, kind of close, that were sort of both on both lists, and then made it a little lighter. And I was like, this is the perfect green for Sean's office. It's like, if Sean was a shade of green, he would be this. We get it home.
So it's like
it looks...
My Neighbor Totoro, Riders of Rohan green mm-hmm. kind of thing?
Mm-hmm. And addle as many of those as you come up with in the episode. The floor is yours. 100, great. One more, great.
Kiki's
I'd love to hear them all.
Sauron,
So we're painting, and it takes like all day Saturday. It's like a whole sure. thing. Even though it's one wall in an office closet, office closet. She's
sure.
losing it.
Uh-huh.
Sure, whatever.
She's absolutely losing it.
We finish it. We like hang up. Art on that wall. It's a whole thing. We put all of his stuff back in the closet. It takes 2 days. It looks so good. We both love how it looks. The guy at the store
how
was like, told me to do
end? What's,
told me
what's
to do a bluish
here?
Undertone in it because it's in uh-huh. that space. And we're like, oh, that makes sense. So because it really does look super green, but it only looks, it doesn't look like gross green because there's so much blue undertone to it.
Sure.
Grave of the Fire Flies, you fool.
And okay. it, yes, exactly. That I'm Adel, I'm telling you as many as you want.
Porco roast sorks.
That's the best one. You can
that's
stop there.
The best one.
That's the Casey says all brilliant. That's the best. That is the best one.
I might not understand how this game is played. If so, that could be the best, that's the top.
We go to sleep so happy about it on Sunday night. We worked on it all weekend.
House
weekend
burnt
project.
Down.
House burnt down. No, Sean hops on his first meeting. On Monday, with his new paint bath background.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
It looks exactly like a green screen.
Oh, no. Yep.
He doesn't like it anymore.
Yeah, no.
Yep.
It looks not like a green screen at all in person. It almost looks like turquoisey, like sure. blue green, like a sea foamy green. And it looks like a full blown green screen behind him. He hates it, and now we have to repaint it.
Does he hate it? Does he hate that people at the office think it's a green screen? Does he hate that the people he work with are like, "Hey, you got a green screen"?
Yeah, like I think people are mentioning it in meetings. Like he just doesn't want a bunch of new clients to be like, "Hey, you got a green screen behind you." Like that can't he. That can't be his
Can
life.
He use it as a green screen? Can he put, oh, like, smart, reflect, yeah. like, an image
Lean
of, like,
a
big open space, maybe? Like a picture of, like, a not a closet behind him, so it makes it look like he's somewhere else?
That's a good point, but then what was the point of painting in the first place?
Oh, Studio Gimli.
Second best.
That can't be second best. That's got to be first best. Studio Gimli, is it first best?
I'm so sorry. I asked the judges and that.
Howl's Moving Castle Gandalf.
Castle Gandalf. Why did you keep going after Studio Gimli? What are you doing? What are you doing?
I'm just having fun.
And Sean's being so sweet. He's like, no, it's great. And I know the truth. So, anyone have a good idea of what I can paint?
Well,
put the shells back.
I just think the green is for you. It's for Sean. It's not for the people that he works with, right? Like, you can just throw on one of those virtual backgrounds or whatever. You know?
I get it. I just wouldn't want to look like I have a green screen behind me. I get it.
Okay, I get it. Yeah. So what's the option? You just go back to like the color of your walls, like just kind of like a off-white thing?
No, I think I will probably pick a different, because well, the guy I used Benjamin Moore paint, because time I've painted before, I bought really cheap paint and it always looks bad and I always have to do more coats. It ends up being more expensive. So Everyone was like, get Benjamin Moore. It is awesome. You will have to do one coat, maybe two, depending on what quality of like color you want to have. And so he said that if you don't like this paint color, this actually works as a really great primer, too. So,
okay.
You should only have to do one coat of another thing if you decide to paint over it one day. So should be an easy, it's just hard to get all this, it's going to be a headache.
Look, I'm biased. I know I'm biased, but I think black. Nice little black void, perfect for your wall color.
That's what you have.
Black is also like pretty fun as an accent color because it's like, oh, and it makes the space look a lot bigger because it looks kind of infinite.
Mm-hmm. I'd say wallpaper. I'd say get some fun wallpaper.
You look like you're in purgatory. Well, Adelaide, we thought wallpaper at first, but it has all these like wood beam cutoffs where like the shelves would go that are raised off the wall. So texture wise, it
gotcha.
We were like, that just felt like such a headache cutting wallpaper to be so. Such random shapes.
Could you paint it with that like chalkboard paint? You know what I'm talking about?
That would be cool.
You
just kind of draw
a different design.
Yeah.
Then Sean could use it for his meetings too, because he could be like, yeah, let's brainstorm that. And like, Sean's always a brainstorm guy because he's always trying to use his chalkboard in the background.
I was thinking about, and then he gets a raise and then he becomes president of the
world.
He
can afford maybe a bigger closet to do his work.
Mm-hmm. I'm thinking about going for a light blue.
That's the dream.
That might be the next. But he has a rug in there that is green and like yellow and tan. I don't know. Blue screen. Oh, God.
They're like, Sean, I think your computer's broken. You got a blue screen, buddy.
It's just me.
I like that JPC is, his room is a black void in space. Mm-hmm. My room is a tiki bathhouse. And you're asking us for advice, Aaron?
Good point.
You have the best eye I know.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, I picked out a green screen color perfectly for the background of Sean.
What's interesting, Aaron, is that green screen scenario that you described, that's not a problem that we ever had to worry about 20 years ago. People would say, green screen? What's that? Are you a TV weatherman?
Did he say weatherman like that?
20 years ago? Yeah, in 1991.
Right. Oh my gosh, I think I locked Sean out of the house. Keep talking. I'll be right.
Well, the good news is he's not worried about the paint anymore.
Here's what I think. I think Aaron did that on purpose. It was a subconscious thing. Well, no, not on purpose, but subconsciously. I think she said, well, he can't complain about the wall if he can't get in the home. And then she just locked him out of the house.
Mm-hmm. Spirited Away Back Home. Is that a thing?
What's a way back home? Where are we going with that? What is that?
Hobbit books called The Way Back Home? I guess there's one.
I don't know. What are the Hobbit books called The Way Back Home? What are you talking about?
I don't know.
What are you talking about?
I don't know. I panicked. There and back again. That's what I'm thinking of.
What are the Hobbit books called The Way Back Home?
I don't know, man.
You mean one of the books that one of the Hobbits wrote?
Yeah.
Because there's only one Hobbit book. The Hobbit.
The Hobbit. But they made it into three movies is what I'm thinking about.
Oh, yeah. Studio Gimli, Rise of the Three Armies.
I think at some point we have to see a Tom Bombadil movie. They're cowards for leaving him out.
Wasn't Amazon doing a bunch of that shit? Did that stop? Did they just stop doing all that?
They're doing Rings of Power or whatever. Yeah, but
that's still going. That's still happening.
I think so.
Okay, I don't know. I don't know anything about it.
Aaron,
what's the verdict? You lock Sean out?
I don't want to talk about it.
Guilty.
Guilty, Your Honor. Guilty.
Guilty.
Here's my thing. I think if you leave the house without keys, you locked yourself out.
But here's the thing. So we have a little porch where Sean will work outside and do work some afternoons.
Never mind. I immediately withdraw what I said. Aaron, yes. You locked him out.
I locked him out. And then I took Lou and then muscle memory locked him out.
Yeah.
It's
Mariah will do that to me sometimes where I will say, hey, don't lock me out. I'm going to be out here watering the plants. And then the door will close and I'll go to the door and I'll be like, well, now I have to give her a little phone call because I am locked out of the house.
Whoops.
That's marriage.
Hey, that's marriage.
That's love.
Get this guy out of my goddamn house. Let's put him in the yard with the water. Honestly, I have a fucking blast out there running through the sprinkler. Get my little feet wet.
Do you have a lawnmower now? Do you like have enough lawn to have your own lawnmower?
I have enough lawn to have a lawnmower. I do not have enough lawn to have the lawnmower that I bought because I didn't really understand. I grew up in Indiana where it's like, oh, a lawnmower? I need a lawnmower. And then I see like everyone else in my neighborhood has little like battery power, like or plug-in lawnmowers. And I was like, oh, fuck, I should have gotten one of these teeny tiny lawnmowers. Because if I'm honest, when I do mow my yard, it takes me about 1.5 minutes to do it.
Whoa.
I have one of those push guys, and they suck. Anytime a twig gets caught into it, forget about it. Stop.
I hate those
Stop
push
city.
Guys. I hate
the
those
worst.
Push guys.
I mostly use my weed whacker to mow my lawn.
Yeah, I mean, I could truly do the same. When I was a kid, when I was growing up, my mom only had a push, like non-motor anything lawnmower, and that's what we had to mow our lawn with, and our lawn was fucking huge, and we hated it. And then one time, like a neighbor was moving and they were like selling their lawnmower and we begged my mom if we could get it. And it wasn't until we were like in high school. My mom was like, okay, yeah, we can get that lawnmower. And then we had a fucking lawnmower. And then we were like, mowing the lawn has never been so easy. But I vowed when I was a child, I said, I'll never have one of those fucking push torture machines.
That's
those
the worst.
Goddamn
Truly
torture
the worst.
Lawnmowers.
Yeah. I loved mowing the lawn as a kid. I feel like that's a fun chore. Like, if you're helping your parents on a weekend, I would much rather do that than whatever bullshit is happening inside.
Not with one of those push mowers. My God, it was fucking hard work. I don't know. I wouldn't wish that on anyone. In fact, if I'm driving around the city and I see somebody with one of those push mowers, I pull over to the side. I whip out the wallet. I give him what? What kind of lawnmower it costs? $6,000? I give him $6,000 and I say, hey, kid, go buy yourself a lawnmower. Ditch the piece of crap. But I don't do that.
JBC, did you get a new water bottle?
Yeah, I did get a new water bottle. It's got a little straw inside. I've never had one with a straw inside. It's one of the water bottles that, like, it's supposed to keep water cool. Or you can put ice in it. It'll keep, like, the ice cold or whatever. Mm. But I'm not really one for cold water, but I like cool water. So I don't do ice.
How do you feel about the straw?
Honestly, I have a little straw brush that to clean it. Like, I bought a little brush that goes through the straw, and I really like doing that. I really like the... It's like, I don't know, it's like, it feels like a little science works thing. It's like I would do it like a children's museum when I was a kid, where you're just like using like a pipe cleaner to like snake out. I don't know. It's very satisfying.
I love that. Just putting
it
through all of our steel straws.
All right. If I could talk about it.
Yeah.
I have three brushes. I bought three brushes because I have different size, different gauge brushes that I can use depending on which straw like I'm cleaning with them. It's a fantastic
product. How much dirt is in the straw?
I go to fucking town on these things. Mariah's like, you know, I think you can put that in the dishwasher. And I go, yeah, I can.
Or I
can also
use this fun thing.
I can get in the shower with my clothes on. I don't fucking want to.
Should we do some Chatterbox topics? Questions?
Oh, sure.
Sure thing.
Here's a question from Chris. Of course, if you ever want to send us a question for Chatterbox, you can do so in the Discord under Chatterbox topics. Chris says, do y'all have any habits for taking it easy when you get sick? My go-to is watching a favorite movie or some Columbo.
Interesting. I used to do this thing in my, I don't know, probably like early 20s, maybe, probably even younger, but like high school to mid to late 20s, where if I would feel myself getting sick, I would say, oh man, that's a bummer. I'm going to get sick, but I'm not going to cancel any of the fun stuff that I have planned. I'm just going to go do all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And then I would get really sick and just be like terribly run down. And now if I feel like a tickle in my throat, I'm like, Diane, clear my week. Like I'm off. I'm on vacation.
Spaghetti usually just lifts her head up. There is no Diane.
She answers to Diane. She answers to Diane Monday through Friday, 9 to 5. but yeah, so now when I feel like I'm getting sick, this just happened like a week ago. I was so excited because I hadn't ridden the bus in a long time. And I was like, I'm going to ride the bus today. And I rode the bus. And then I got home. And the next day, I was like, uh-oh, I feel like I'm getting sick because I went around people and I rode the bus. So then I just like took like 24 hours off. I just didn't really do anything. I didn't work out. I like barely moved. And that's my go-to.
Riding the bus is your number two, you said?
I love riding that bus. You know what? I was honestly thrilled. I was so, Mariah was like, I can give you a ride. I goes, no, I'm gonna ride the bus. I'm going to take the Addison bus today all the way down. It was fun.
I want to see a fight. I would say I like to drink, what is it, Lapsang? Lasopso? Which one's a dog and which one's tea?
You don't even know the name of it?
It's like a smoky tea. It comes in like a brown package. There's smoky tea. It basically, it tastes like drinking a campfire, which is all I want in a tea. I drink that, 4 or 5 cups of that a day when I'm sick. I also find just like bitching and moaning about it is just makes me feel better. If I just, if Gemma's like, how are you doing? And I'm like, I'm not good. It makes me feel better faster.
Dude, amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Aaron?
Bed on the couch. Put sheets down on the couch, really set up, bring your bed pillows to the couch, all the couch cozy fort blankets.
Mm-hmm.
Have at least 8 different beverages going at once. You got to have bone broth, you got to have tea, water with lemon, a vitamin C-ish drink, ginger ale. You're going to want all the beverages you could possibly want next to you. You're going to want something that is like a cracker or a pretzel, something that it is like sort of tasteless, but you're still like getting some food in your body.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
And then binge watch something. Mm-hmm. Combo of all those together, I think, is the essential.
That's exactly what I did, the binge watch thing, the last time like I said, a couple weeks ago when I was like feeling sick, and I watched all of season 1 and 2 of The Bear, which I had never seen before. Because those episodes aren't super long.
No.
But I did get absolutely pissed off. Because one of the episodes of The Bear, and if you haven't seen The Bear, it's pretty good. I'd recommend it. But pay attention to how long the episodes are before you start them. If you're just binging, it's kind of, you know, inconsequential. But one of the episodes was like legit an hour and a half long. And I was
Christmas
like,
one or?
Like a movie.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a movie. It's a fucking movie. And I'm like, you know what? Hulu should have a little pop up that says, hey, do you know you're about to start a movie and not just a TV show The Bear? Like you thought you were going to start and it's actually going to be really long. And if you have something to do, you absolutely shouldn't watch this. Fucking bullshit.
It also helps if when I make a little couch fort and I'm sick and I binging a series is actually a great idea. I will typically like lift up my hands and make little squeezy motions with my fingers and go, one of the boys, and then Gemma will put a cat in my hand and I go, thank you. And then hold it and it tries to get away and I go, no, no, no.
And then the cat gets a cold.
Yeah.
And then goes, one of the boys, and grabs the other cat.
And Adel's like, I'm busy.
Yeah. Fuck off. Bass Toad or Bass Toad. We'll never know. If you had a small shop that sold a specific product, like a fine arts store or a haberdashery, or what kind of shop would you have?
Oh, I love this.
Oh, sold a specific product or what kind of shop would you have?
Okay. Oh, I have an answer for this, but it's not a product that I'm selling.
Mm-hmm.
Truly, I think, Adel, you recommended this a place in Santa Fe to get breakfast at, and I'm trying to remember the name of the place.
Tia Sofia's.
Yeah, Tia Sofia's sounds about right. It was a place in Santa Fe. They had like they had good breakfast food. I got like a red green breakfast burrito thing.
Christmas style.
Christmas style, baby. But there was a guy who was not like waiting tables or anything. He was just working the cash register, and he was just like chatting with people and making jokes and asking people where they were from and like having little conversations with as he was like, you know, letting people help know how long it would be to get a seat, and people would like pay their bills to him and stuff. And I was like, oh my God, my dream and he was an older dude. I was like, my dream as a retiree would be to have that job, like work in a breakfast restaurant, because I like getting up early and I don't like working late. You know, you're done by like, 1 o'clock or whenever breakfast restaurants let out for the day. And you're just like schmoozing with people and making small talk. That would be my shop. My shop would be me working the desk at a breakfast restaurant.
Hell yeah. They also have, I think it's Tia Sofia's. They also serve, I remember when I sat down, they were like, do you want sopapillas? And I'm like, I feel like I've heard that before, but I don't know what it is. And then they brought the basket of sopapillas. I'm like, oh, this is the most incredible, delicious thing I've ever had.
Yeah, they were very good. They were very good there.
That's a fantastic answer, JPC.
Thank you. Thought about that one a lot.
My answer is going to vary wildly from JPC's. I think I want to run a store, and it's basically, listen, I'm gonna come clean. You two know this. I know this already, but I don't talk about it.
Uh-huh.
I'm a bit of a hoarder. I have a lot of stuff.
Adol.
I know you? I am. Aaron, you say
it. Do you not talk about
it? Outside the podcast, you yell at me all the time. I have way too much stuff. I don't know what it is about physical items. I have a very hard time letting go. I attach sentiment and emotional value to everything. What I want to own is basically it's like a antique store, but nothing's really of value. And hopefully a lot of it is like my stuff that I'm getting rid of at this point in life.
Interesting. But nice.
Here's the thing. It's just maybe like two shelves of like little knickknacks, little antiques.
Mm-hmm.
And what it is every single item, when you come in and ask about it, I improvise a full story about what makes it so special. So a lot of it's going to be like, oh, that little thimble, that carries the ghost of XYZ.
So you sell improv.
I sell. Thank you, Aaron. That makes it sound gross.
That makes it sound gross.
So I make up this whole backstory to the item to where it gives it a history and some sort of haunted element to it. Maybe they're not all haunted, but I give some sort of history to it. And then people buy that, and maybe I send them along a little handwritten note that explains the goings-ons that I had improvised or something like that. But I think that would be fun. I think I'd go out of business in 2 or 3 weeks. But I feel like for those first 2 or 3 weeks, I would be having a lot of fun. At some point, it would get exhausting.
You know, it's about the journey, not the destination at all. Exactly. Don't think about your opening your small business about when you're going to go out of business, because that's inevitable. You know.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Aaron, what about you?
I have a store that I really want to open. I genuinely think I would make so much money, especially here in Southern California.
Hotel for dogs.
No, it's called Moms in Town. And it is the perfect place to take your mom when she's in town. So it's like a breakfast brunch place, but it's like an antique store, and we sell
Hold on.
What?
That's just my idea and Adel's idea combined.
I know. And that, can you believe I was over here freaking out the entire time?
Come on. No way.
Idiots. We gave it away for
and
free.
And it has like old, like a antique refrigerator. And inside of it, you can buy like French butter and like natural wine and stuff like that. And it's a bunch of like soft things that smell good and like produce that a mom would be like, oh my gosh, it's amazing. Something that you like bring your family to. Mm-hmm. They can have like a latte or a mimosa and a breakfast sandwich, walk around, buy a bunch of knickknacks they don't need. It's called Moms in Town. What do we think?
Aaron, I'm furious because this is brilliant. My one addition, take it or leave it.
Sell improv.
If you have a corner of the store where you have someone sit, and their whole job is they sit there and just go, ooh, and it's called Brag Corner. And every mom can go there and be like, my son just got into Valparaiso on a partial scholarship. And the person goes, oh my gosh, amazing. And they can show pictures of their kids or their pets or whatever's going on. So, and because moms love to be proud of their kids. So I think that would be
brilliant.
Smart.
The only addition, Aaron, is that I'm going to open up a competing, not competing, I would never say competing, business next door to yours. Uh-oh. And it's going to be called the Dad Zone. And it's just going to be Lazy Boy recliners. Lazy Boy recliners and like one beer fridge, and there's no TV or anything in the room. It's just Lazy Boy recliners, a beer fridge, and then one really well done piece of wood workmanship that all the dads could like gather around and be like, wow, look at the edges, look at the himmeling.
But all the Lazy Boys are facing the wall.
And there's one bird in the place and they all go, I got it. And there's one broken stereo that they all have to try and tinker with.
Yeah.
And you know, the Lazy Boys are not facing towards the door, and there's a little bell in the door, and it'll be the mom who's done at your store, and she'll ring the bell, and all the dads will turn around, and then one will say, mine, and then they'll like dutifully walk out of this door and go to the next place.
Okay, brilliant.
We're going to all open these stores. Please come visit our terrible stores.
I saw one of my favorite things that I've ever seen in, where was I? I think it was in Michigan, and I was going to an antique store. I was doing a world news gig. We were seeing an antique store the next day before we drove home. And I went to the antique store, and there's like a lot of like old like doors and door. There
was I was
like
with a big, you. Yeah. This yeah. was after Kalamazoo. Yeah.
After Kalamazoo. That's right. But on the outside, when we were leaving, I think we were like waiting for someone to make a purchase. There was
I was buying an old riddle book.
Probably. There was an old man who had dropped his wife off. He had like parked his truck out front and dropped his wife off. But there was two rocking chairs out in front of this antique store. And he just sat in the, like, he didn't want to go into the antique store. So he dropped his wife off and then just sat in the rocking chair. And then as he was sitting, another old man came, dropped his wife off, and took the other seat in the rocking chair next to that antique store. And the two men did not say a word to each other. And I thought that was beautiful. They're
That's
just
brilliant.
Like two guys who know exactly why they're there, but they're not friends. Oh, man, that's perfect for me.
You have to be in some friendships and relationships, you have to be comfortable with silence.
Those guys look like maybe,
that was
they
not
maybe
silence.
Said those guys look like they maybe said a collective like four words for the last 20 years, or they were like on that Eddie Murphy tree, and they were both down to their last word, and they were like, we cannot say it.
The Eddie Murphy tree, that's what they're
it's gonna
about,
be
right?
Sorry, and it's gonna be the day I die.
That's so funny.
Here's a question from SWAT. What was the last book you DNF'd, did not finished? Why didn't you finish it? And for added bonus, the academic in me would like to know what four thematic pillars the book had.
DNF. I like calling something a DNF.
Did not finish.
I don't know in the last... I don't know in the last 20 years if I have not finished a book.
Wow.
I will hate read my way through a book that I hate and that I'm not enjoying. I will finish it. I will finish it because if I stop reading a book that I hate, and I get better at not selecting a book that I think I will hate. But if I stop reading a book that I hate, then I will not have all of the data to let me know that that book was actually bad. I need to get to the end because once I've done the whole thing, I can say objectively, subjectively, this book sucked and I hated it.
Mm-hmm. I remember I didn't know if you're going to finish them. Now I know you would have because of what you just said. But I remember recommending to you Brandon Sanderson, and you being like, "Well, this sucks because there's like 40 books."
No, that's not what happened. Addle said you're going to love this Brandon Sanderson book, and he recommended book one of a
Stormlight
10-part series where only three of the books were out, and he didn't tell me. He didn't tell me about it. So abort, I got done with book one. I go, how do I get more of these things? They go, well, he's still writing them. And I was like, you motherfucker.
It's a curse that you spread.
And I think I recommended it after you said you were frustrated with another author not finishing their...
is that the way it went? Let me recall if I can remember if that's the way it went. Yeah, I seem to remember the conversation going exactly
I'm
like that.
Sorry. The last book I didn't finish was, I think, a book I actually picked up on that Michigan trip, and I hadn't started it in a while, which is The October Country by Ray Bradbury, which is a bunch of short stories that I think are all kind of spooky-ish. But I started reading it a few months ago, and at some point I was like, oh, these short stories are pretty good, and they're all kind of creepy and spooky. I'm going to save this for closer to Halloween. So I'm going to try and finish it, try and pick it back up in October and try and finish it before the season is over. Aaron, what about you?
I can't think of a book I didn't finish. I know this does not count, but I was reading The Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo.
I've heard that's good.
And it's like a pretty short read, but I kept putting it down and just not. And so I just downloaded the audiobook because I was like, for whatever reason, I'm not getting through this. And then I finished it over the audiobook, like while doing my walks. And what was the second part of that question? What are the themes?
For bonus,
like four pillars.
For added bonus, the academic in me would like to know what the four thematic pillars the book had. And then they say in parentheses, freedom and slavery, life and death, faith and reason, and fuck me, I can't remember the last one. So let's just call it Sense and Sensibility.
Yeah, Pride and Prejudice and Zombies.
Uh-huh.
Can you read them again? I actually want to.
No, I don't
want
to do that.
Okay. I don't want to do that.
Freedom and slavery is one pillar. Life and death is another. Faith and reason, and fuck me, I can't remember the last one. So let's just call it Sense and Sensibility. Is what they.
Well, I'll go with the last one.
Okay.
It's about this like old Hollywood starlet, and it's like supposed to be like an Elizabeth Taylor one-to-one, and it's about being like defined by your relationships as a woman, and then it turns out, this is a spoiler, so skip ahead if you don't want it spoiled. Turns out for most of the time she was with all those husbands, she was in a relationship with a woman.
Woo! And she, spicy!
And she feels way more defined, I think, by her, that love, than she did any other one of her husbands.
I don't know if this qualifies as a book I have not finished because it's a book I'm currently reading, so I fully intend to finish it, but I'm moving at a glacial pace through it.
Drew, one fish, two fish, red fish, blue fish.
How did the fish get blue? Like, I understand red, but it's
moving
just...
Moving at a glacial pace.
Is there a page missing?
There must be a page. It's like blue fish, red fish,
died?
And then blue fish.
It's so funny.
No, I'm reading a book, Kim Stanley Robinson's Green Mars. And I read Red Mars and I really liked it. And Green Mars is the follow up, and then there's Blue Mars, which is the last one of the which is Redfish, Bluefish, honestly. It's very good, but it's very dense, and it's like, I don't know if anyone's ever read those books, then you understand. But it's sometimes can be tough for me to be like, oh yay, I'm looking forward to reading this, and then the guy's like going on for like eight pages about like the different kinds of flora he found in the ice, and I'm like, okay, let's move it on.
Something I want to clarify. So, Aaron, the book you were reading is The Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo, which, again, I've heard is good. One of my favorite books of all time is The Seven Deaths of Evelyn Hardcastle, and I've recommended that on the show, so I don't want people to conflate that. If you've never read The Seven Deaths of Evelyn Hardcastle, that is, to me, one of the better books of all time.
And one of my favorite books that I've recommended many times on the show is The Five People You'll Meet in Heaven. And
Mitch Halpern.
Oh, my God.
The Seven Habits of Highly Successful Dead People. Here's a question from Leech. Leech says, what's the most memorable dream and or nightmare you've ever had? I think my nightmares are probably I don't want to mention because it's content I don't want to say on the show in terms of involving violence, but was a memorable dream that I have quite often is that I learn that I can quote unquote fly, but every time I go to show someone, I just hover off the ground for like 1 foot off the ground, and people are always like, oh good, and I'm like, no, hold on, I can fly. And then they're like, no, I believe you, I can see it. And I'm like, hold on. And I keep trying, and I just keep floating and kind of moving and bumping into things. And then once they leave, I'm able to like soar through the sky and do backflips and all this cool stuff. But then again, as soon as I see someone
can't
I know,
show.
I go back to hovering 1 foot off the ground.
I think my most memorable dreams, I think I've probably told all of these on the show before, but they're ones where I realize that it's a dream, and then I decide that I don't want to do it anymore, and I just stop doing it, and then I wake up because
lucid
I...
Lucid dreaming.
Yeah, but it's not lucid dreaming because I'm not controlling it. I'm just stopping. I'm saying, no, I'm going to just sit here on the ground. And I know this is a dream, so I'm just going to wait. I'm going to wait this one out. But then I think I told the Kill It With Milk story on the show. That's another one that I still say Kill It With Milk. Mariah and I say that to each other often, which means just deal with it. Like, just do it. And then not a dream for me, but I still to this day, one of my most favorite dreams or memorable dream stories is I had a roommate when I was in college, not living in like a dorm, but living in my brother's house. And he fell off of his chair just kind of like randomly. It was, you know, the middle of the day. He just fell off his chair. And I go, what happened? And he was laughing. because he had had a dream the night before that he could teleport. And he could teleport in his dream. And then he went about his whole day, and it was like midway through the day, and he remembered, oh, I can teleport. So he tried to teleport into the kitchen to like get some cereal, and he fell out of his chair trying to teleport, and then remembering, no, of course you can't teleport. That was a dream. And I thought that was a very, very funny thing to do.
Incredible.
My recurring dream is I'm like on the street with Adol, and he starts to try to fly, but he's sort of just hovering.
Oh, no, it was real. It was real.
Yeah, I just, I dream about the same locations often in different things. They're fictional locations that I've never actually been to in real life. In
Pittsburgh.
Like a, what is this? A Slarbies.
A Slarbies.
A Barty's.
Yeah.
But a Slarbies in Pittsburgh.
McFronald's.
McFronald's. that sounds horrible. I've had a reoccurring dream since I was a kid. I have it like twice a week, and it's kind of sad, but it's going off of a bridge in a car with my mom. I've had that dream since I was a young child. I have it at least.
Do you
once
often
a week.
Look to your mom and say, "Mom, we're going off a bridge," and then your mom turns into Ted Kennedy and says, "I know this is. I can't do Ted Kennedy's voice.
Kennedy
obviously,
killed that girl.
He did kill that girl."
As Aaron, since you mentioned your nightmare, I'm going to mention mine. But okay. I'll try and use some.
I don't think I don't think anyone's clamoring to hear your violent nightmare.
I'll use. Well, I feel like it's. If you two want to know me better, it's important to know. I'll use a smoke screen, which is someone outdoors is doing something to people, and they're dropping dead. In terms of like using a certain thing to kill people, and I fall down and pretend to be dead, and then the person like stands over me and is like, for several minutes. Checking to be like, are they dead? And I'm like, please move on. And typically I wake up right when any sort of action is taken. But it's a recurring nightmare for, I want to say, like 20 some years. And it's the worst. It's the absolute worst. I hate it.
Oh,
and,
I'm so sorry. That's horrible.
No, it's fine. It's totally fine. But it's now you two know my
I have this recurring nightmare where, and it only happens if I'm like in bed with like a partner or whatever, where I'm in the dream, I'm like peeing and I'm peeing and I'm peeing and I'm peeing. And then I wake up and my partner has like rolled over to my side of the bed, peed, and then rolled over and then obviously like changed clothes or whatever, got dry, then rolled back over to their side of the bed.
Wait.
And is like completely dry. And now I'm like covered in someone else's pee on like my side of the bed. And so then I'm like, hey, you peed on me. And they're like, no, I didn't. Like, you're covered in pee and I'm not. And I'm like, yeah, because you obviously took a shower in the middle of the night and washed off all the pee. And I go, if I go check your towel, it's going to be wet. And I go to the bathroom. Of course, the towel is bone dry. So
they put
I
it in
know
the dryer.
I know they put it in the dryer. So then I'm downstairs at the laundromat of the community building being like, I know the dryer's used because the towel's dry upstairs and I'm covered in pee. So, yeah, it's like a reoccurring. It's like a reoccurring. But I guess it's not really a nightmare because it's very funny to
me. DPC, I'm sorry. No, I missed it, but it looks like Casey said, yes. 7.5 deaths of Evelyn Hardcastle is truly a top 3 all-timer for me.
Oh, wow. Company.
Here's our last question, and this is from Legati. What's the prettiest bird? And I think...
this one, motherfucker, and then I flip you off, and then I'm a boop, 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 boop,
a peacock.
Oh, hold on. I have one more. I'm going to say a flamingo. I think flamingo is the prettiest. And then I have one more quick story before we end the episode.
You think those shrimp eaters are the fucking prettiest bird?
That's what they call me. They go, shrimp eater.
You fucking shrimp eater.
Shrimp eater.
JPC, did you list yours? The middle finger?
I think the middle finger is a good one. That's number one with a bullet. God, I do think... okay. I'm gonna go old school on this, and I'm gonna say the pterodactyl because we all know that dinosaurs are birds. And
pterodactyl
baby.
And a like Farrah Fawcett blonde wig.
Not enough people. With a big pair of pumps on. Oh baby, a pterodactyl. You're giving me a boner.
Aaron,
if you want his pterodactyl, that's very hard to say. If you want his pterodactyl for Halloween, I'll fund it.
Yeah, mm-hmm, I think I would become like the king of California or something.
Very quick story I have to tell. I'll tell as quick as possible.
Yes.
I was recently in London as per the Crystal Base, but I went to go this show I'm obsessed with called The Burnt City, which is an immersive theater. It's like a lot of people packed into this huge space. There's like 100 rooms, but you're just walking around experiencing the thing for 3 hours. As we were going throughout the thing, you follow different characters if you want. There's like 20 some characters. You follow them. A lot of people might follow the same character. Some characters have nobody following them, so it's just luck of the draw, or you can move around. I was following a character, and we go down this little corridor, and I accidentally step on the guy in front of me's heel, like the heel of his shoe.
Flat tire.
It didn't, I don't think I caught his skin or anything. It was just kind of a, you know, just a little bump against his shoe. I thought it was pretty harmless. The guy turns around and looks at me. We're all wearing masks, I should say. We're wearing these theater masks. He looks at me. He looks down at his heel. He looks back up at me. He kind of shakes his head, and there's no talking in the space, so he can't say anything. And then he turns around, and he flips me the peace sign, like deuces out.
Oh.
And I go, what a weird move to, like, stare me down and then be like, peace out, or like, deuces, I'm going to move on. And I kept following. And then it took me like 2 to 3 minutes to be like, oh, no, I'm in England. And deuces, deuces from the back means fuck you.
Perfect.
So if they do this, it's like, fuck you, like up your fucking ass, like this.
That's so great to not know someone, some other culture's like, fuck you, that's not a fuck you.
Yeah.
Because they do it to you and you're like, okay.
Yeah, I truly thought, like, what a weird move. Like, he looked like he was going to, like, try and start something, and then he just said, like, peace out. And we both went in the same direction. And then I was like, oh, no, he said fuck you, and I just smiled and shrugged or something. Sorry, just had to...
No, that was... I mean, that is a perfect misunderstanding. That is perfect.
Aaron, speaking of misunderstandings, a lot of people confuse or conflate this planet in the night sky with just a regular star. Aaron, do you know which planet I'm talking about?
Deuces?
Aaron, it's a chatterbox. So that would be...
What's the planet that you say for the chatterbox, Aaron?
Aaron, for chatterbox, you say a specific planet.
The
it's
sun?
Always been the case. I think the sun's a planet.
Don't.
Yeah. It's more of a planet than the moon, Adel, which is what you were going to say.
Yeah.
That was Clue Crew, so now here's a who's who. The relatable host was Aaron Keith. If you rolled your eyes, it's because of Adel Rafi or that other young guy, fucking JPC. Casey Tony edited what everybody said, and F. Mumbly Cardamus did the logo. Arnie Parrott sang and wrote every single friggin' note of 1, 2, 3, 4, hate riddle riddles, Clue Crew.
My neighbor Totoro, Riders of Rohan Green kind of thing. Kiki's Delivery, Sauron, Grave of the Fire Flies, you fool. Porco Rosorks? Oh, Studio Gimli. Howl's Moving Castle Gandalf. Spirited Away Back Home. Is that a thing?